I wonder if we could turn to the book of the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles and chapter 3, and beginning at the start of the chapter. And Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, which is the ninth hour. And a certain man, who was lame from his mother's womb, was being carried, whom they placed every day at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who were going into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to enter into the temple, asked to receive alms. And Peter, looking steadfastly upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I have not, but what I have, this I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk." And having taken hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones were made strong. And now if we continue down in verse 12. And Peter, seeing it, answered the people, "Men of Israel, why are ye astonished at this? Or why do ye gaze on us as though we had by our own power or piety made him to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, whom he had judged that he should be let go. But ye denied the holy and righteous one, and asked that a man that was a murderer should be granted to you. But the originator of life ye slew, whom God raised from among the dead, whom we are witnesses, whereof we are witnesses. And by faith in his name has made this man strong, whom ye behold and know. And the faith which is by him has given him the complete soundness in the presence of you all." I was just thinking of this scripture when we read it recently in the meeting. And you just really wonder at what this must have been like for the people who were there in the temple that day. I want you to try and picture yourself as one of them. You've maybe come up to the temple to pray, to come to God, to maybe make a petition, when all of a sudden, into the temple comes a man. And this man, as we're told in scripture, he's leaping and praising God in great joy. It would certainly make you stop and look, wouldn't it? Wonder what on earth has happened to this man? And then you might look a little closer and you suddenly realize, wait a minute, this is the man who we pass coming into the temple. This is the man who's always there begging for alms. Chances are that those who came into the temple that day would have passed that man, seeing him just as he always was before, sitting begging for alms, unable to move himself. He had to be laid there by others, we're told. And yet here he is, leaping and praising God, full strength in his legs. It would just make you wonder, wouldn't it? What had happened? What had changed? And then you look and you see this man, as we're told, held Peter and John. In other translations, it says he clung to them. And these two men, who he's clinging to, one of them starts to speak. And he says, "Why do ye behold us? It is not by any of their own power or piety that made him to walk, but faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Who is the Lord Jesus? There would have been some who would have known him at that time, I'm sure. Some mightn't have seen him, but they would have heard of the man who was crucified, who was nailed to a cross, who was delivered up, and who had died. Yet, it is in the name of this man Jesus that this man was healed. Now we know, as Peter says here, that the Lord Jesus was risen again. And it just really struck me, this. If the Lord Jesus had still been dead, this could not have happened, I don't think. This was the power of the name of a living Saviour. But who is this man Jesus that we speak of? Well, first of all, I can tell you, he's my Saviour. And he's the man who this gospel is about tonight. He's the man that I want to tell you about. Because you see, he saved me. And I want to tell you how. And for that, I want to look at a very well-known verse in John's Gospel and chapter 3 and beginning at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish but have life eternal. For God has not sent his Son into the world that he may judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him. The Lord Jesus wasn't like any other man who walked on this earth, dear friend. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God. God who created this universe, God who created this world, who created everything in it, who created you, and who created me. God who we, each and every one of us, have sinned before. What is sin? Well, sin is disobedience. Sin is doing what our Creator God desired us not to do, or not doing what he has desired us to do. And it's within every one of us, dear friend. Have you ever lied? Have you ever argued, got angry? Dear friend, you and I are sinners. We are sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God. But what has this to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's as I've read. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And as we've read, for God so loved the world. The world, that's you and me, dear friend. It doesn't mean this planet. He loved this planet. It means he loved all those within it. He loved you. He loved me. He loved all those around you. He loved all those around me. He loved every single person. And he loved you so much that he wanted to answer your problem of sin. You see, our sins are a death sentence to us. Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death. That is the sentence you or I are under. Now that doesn't mean death in the sense that we go under, someone might be sentenced to a death sentence, or death by an accident, or death by disease, or anything like that. But the very fact that we will die is a sentence of death. And we will die, be dead for all eternity. You see, for our sins to be punished, if we were to take that punishment, it would require us to spend eternity in punishment. Now, while that is not a pleasant thought to dwell on, it is something that must be recognized, that you and I deserve to be punished for all eternity, to be blotted out from all existence for the sins we have done, because we have fallen short of the glory of God. But God loved the world. He loved it so much, dear friend, that he gave his only begotten Son. Now what does that mean? It means he gave his Son to come down from glory's highest heights. He gave him to come down to earth, to walk amongst men as a man. He came down in manhood's form. He wasn't like any other man who walked this earth, dear friend. He was absolutely perfect. He never did a wrong thing in his life. He went through this world, and he went, dear friend, to die for you and me. He went to the cross. Mankind convicted him of being worthy of death. They could find no fault in him. I know it's been said before, there quite possibly has never been another court case anywhere in the history of man where the accused was found absolutely innocent and duly sentenced to death. When you think of it, it just doesn't seem fair, does it? He was perfectly innocent of the charges that they laid before him. They tried to lay false witnesses to accuse his words, to accuse him. Nothing could be brought against him. And yet, he went to that cross. Dear friend, he went to that cross willingly because he shared the love of our God and Father for you and for me. You see, there was only one way that you and I could be spared the punishment for our sins. And that was if a righteous and perfect one were to take our place. There's only ever been one such person, dear friend. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to that cross. He was nailed to that cross. I've looked at many parts of history. I'm quite interested in it. And I have to admit, I've never ever heard of a worse punishment than crucifixion that man could mete out. You got to think of what it was. It was, you took a man, you took a nail, not just a small one, but it was a big thing, big, thick, bulky piece of metal, and hammered that through the hands and through the feet. Can you imagine that? We've often had the time maybe where we've been hanging up a picture and we've accidentally hit the hammer onto our nail. And it's excruciatingly painful. Can you ever imagine having a nail put through your hand? And not even having it there and then being able to quickly take it out and remove it and bandage up, but having it there constantly through 3 hours while the blood pours out, while the pain continues. And they're not just nailed to it, they're put, as they say, hung up on the cross. The cross gets put into the ground, and the hands, you're hanging on that cross, filled with the pain, your own body weight pulling down against those wounds. You're being held by those nails to that cross. Your own weight is pressing down on them. Excruciatingly painful. I've heard it said that when you breathe in, it causes your hands to be pulled slightly towards you, against those nails. The pain then forces them back out, and you exhale, and you're constantly going through a cycle of that. It's an awful, awful punishment. But you know what, dear friend? It was nothing compared to what happened in the 3 hours of darkness when he was on that cross and no one could see anything. It was nothing compared to the punishment for our sins that our Lord Jesus Christ went through. The punishment for our sins was worse than what mankind's worst devious imagination could come up with. He went through that pain, through that suffering, and then he died. He didn't die as you and I would die. He gave up his spirit. He entered into death for you and for me, that our sins might be forgiven, that the price might be paid, that we might be free. Do you know, it just really makes me wonder. When you think of the centurion who we read of in Mark chapter 15. I have a note of it. You can turn to it as well if you wish or not. Mark chapter 15 and verse 37. And Jesus, having uttered a loud cry, expired. And the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. And the centurion who stood by over against him, when he saw that he had expired, having thus cried out, said, truly this man was Son of God. Do you know, this man, centurion, would have seen many people die. I'm quite sure he would have been over potential other crucifixions as well. Scripture doesn't tell us, we don't know, but chances are this wasn't the first crucifixion he would have witnessed, and possibly not the last. When you think of it, I mean, it was a punishment reserved for the worst of criminals. Yet this centurion just realized there was something so different about that man on a cross. He said, I don't think he could help himself. Truly, this man was Son of God. He recognized who that man was on that cross. Do you know, there's many stories in Scripture of various people. Think of the woman in John 4. Is not this the Christ? Someone else had recognized it. You think of Nathanael. He only spoke a couple of sentences with the Lord and was convinced that this was the Christ. There's many in Scripture who found and knew the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God. Well, dear friend, that's who the Lord Jesus is. That's my Saviour. You see, I put my faith and trust in him. And the reason this gospel is being spoken tonight is because I would desire you to know him as your Saviour too. You see, Jesus loves you. He wants you to be able to be with him for all eternity. Because you see, dear friend, for everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is an eternity in his presence awaiting you. You have the most wonderful, wonderful future before you. And you know what? There is nothing that can take that away from you. No matter what this world throws, no matter how we might be tossed and turned in our daily lives, no matter what stresses, what problems may come, nothing can separate you from the love of God. As we read in that wonderful verse at the end of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and beginning at verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ Jesus our Lord. Dear friend, I would just implore you now, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean? What does it take? All it means, dear friend, is simply to speak to him now. How do you speak to him? Well, he's waiting now. He's listening. He's got his hand outstretched to bless you. If you speak now, even if it's within your mind, even if it's a whispered word, he will hear you. All you have to do is ask him to forgive you for your sins. And dear friend, I know right now, if you do this, the Lord Jesus' answer will be, I will. He will save you from your sins and wash you as white as snow. Dear friend, don't put this decision off. The day is fast coming when the Lord Jesus is going to come to call all those home who belong to him. And dear friend, I just would sincerely hope and pray that you will be amongst those who belong to him and who go to be with him. Because if you do not have your faith and trust in him when he comes, it will be too late. We don't know when he is coming, but we do know one thing. Scripture tells us, behold, I come quickly. He is coming very soon, dear friend. I can't guarantee you another week. I can't guarantee you another day. I can't even guarantee you another hour or another minute. Dear friend, do so now. Don't put it off any longer. If you haven't got your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, if you haven't asked him to save you, then do so right now. And know for a fact that you will live with him for all eternity. Dear friend, there's no greater place you could be. There's no greater reward or promise that you could ever have. There's no greater gift that we could ever gain than to be with our Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity in the presence of our God and Father. He loves you so much, dear friend, and he wants you to be with him in a place of eternal joy and happiness. I just pray, dear friend, please put your faith and trust in him. Please come to know the Saviour. I can thoroughly, thoroughly recommend it, dear friend. He's been my Saviour for a number of years now, and I've never, ever regretted it, dear friend. I only wish I could know him better and better, and I know there are many others who feel the same way as me. Come to know the Saviour tonight, dear friend, before it is too late. Put your faith and trust in him, for his name's sake.